talking through these imagine statements. And last week and this week, we focused our attention on one in particular. And I want to read that to you again this morning. For those who are joining us for the first time here this morning, welcome. And let me say to you that about 12 years ago, God began to speak to me about this body of believers, this family in God that is now Harvest Christian Fellowship. And one of the things he used to help me to understand what he may be saying to us, but also to share the same with others, were these statements about imagining. And imagining a place where, and we spent the last month talking through those statements, but there's one in particular that we've paid close attention to for the last several weeks, and it simply says, imagine a church of people who have found meaning in life as they connect and reconnect with Christ and his plan for their lives, being sent back into the culture of Newcastle County as a redemptive force. And then we simply said we need to understand that as a church, ultimately our goal and our aim, our understanding has to be this, that we are sent, that God desires to send us back into culture, that we don't simply gather. Sunday morning, as great as Sunday morning is not the end all and be all. If you know what I say most often, Sunday morning is a pep rally. And that the game actually starts when we break the huddle that we call the benediction and we go back out into the world that we came from to influence it for the better in the name of Jesus Christ. This week I want to continue the sermon series that we have been in and began last week, Who Shall I Send? And this morning I want to talk to you using the very broad topic, Here I Am, Send Me. So yesterday something happened and we all got to see it yesterday or Friday night, this movie that has taken the country and now we can absolutely say the world by storm, Black Panther, broke $1 billion at the box office. Amen. It's now the number 9 highest grossing movie ever, with more than $500 million here in the United States and $500 million plus dollars and counting because it just opened in China. So $500 plus million dollars and counting in other parts of the world. Now, here's why I say all of that to you. This is not the Wakanda sermon you're going to hear this morning. My wife was like, ah. Yeah, not today. But I'm a superhero fan. Grew up reading comic books. In particular, I was a fan of the X-Men, really love the X-Men. So you can imagine that anything that has to do with Marvel Comics is something that's near and dear to my heart. In fact, I'll just full disclosure, the second season of Jessica Jones just came out on Netflix, and I'm done already, just so you understand how I get down when it comes to watching my Marvel superheroes. Can't wait for Luke Cage 2, but that's another message for another day. So we're going to leave that one there. But the thing I like about reading comic books, the thing that I like about most of our superheroes, the ones that really resonate with me, is that most of them actually began life as regular people. And most of them probably, if they had their druthers, would want nothing more than to be able to continue to live life like regular people. But at some point in their life, something happened. They got bitten by a radioactive spider. Or they got sick and found themselves in the hands of some doctor who really believed that he could do something with the genetic code that had never been done before. And now, all of a sudden, they have this power Didn't ask for it, don't want it, but now I feel like I need to do something with it. And in fact, many of them find themselves conflicted. I would want nothing more than to live my life regularly. I'd love to be able to open a door and not rip the doorknob off. I would. I'd love to be able to go someplace and not hear everybody's thoughts. I'd love to be. Now, we who are typical folk, we often believe that flying would be the best thing in the world, right? That to have superhuman strength would be awesome. To be able to read somebody's mind and to know what they, to have the speed of Flash, can you imagine? I could pick pockets and nobody would know. See, that's why I ain't got no superpower right there. Amen. But most of them are regular people. Hear me. I resonate with them and the conflict that they have in their lives, that they have this thing that, yeah, it's a blessing to them. But if I had known that when I got this, if I had known that I was going to not only have all of these things that I could do, but have these expectations of me, that all of a sudden now when I walk into a situation and I see somebody in distress, because I know what I know and I have this power that I have, I can't just walk by. That somebody's actually going to expect that I am going to put myself in harm. I know bullets bounce off of me, but it still doesn't mean I want to get shot. I believe that we, more than we know, ought to be able to relate to those who we read about or watch in comic books, on television, or on movie screens. I was never a DC Comics guy. I thought DC comic characters were kind of whack, including Batman and Superman, but that's just me. But then somebody turned me on to this Black Lightning. If you've seen Black Lightning, raise your hand. If you haven't, you missing it. Have you ever heard my story about the Snickers bar with almonds? Enough said. That's all I'm going to say right there. If you ain't seen Black Lightning, set your DVR for, I don't even know what day it come on. Tuesday night. See, I DVR everything, so excuse me. This is somebody whose whole life has been turned upside down by the power that he has. And when I watch it, I say to myself, I get it. He's a father who wants nothing more than just to be able to spend time and to raise his children out of the harm that may come because of this thing that he has going on in his life. And I say, how many times do we as Christians wish that we could just look the other way? That I could just take this thing that I've been given, which is this great gift of salvation, and use it for me, that nobody else would know what I got going on in my life. And when that great getting up morning came, all I needed to do was pull out my get out of hell free card and say, I've been saved, but I've been living my life into myself all my life. And then how many of us understand that ain't how this works? That we all have actually been given something by God, that God has the expectation that we will use not just on that great getting up morning for ourselves, but that wherever we go each and every day, that we find ourselves in a place where he expects that we will do something to make a difference. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse number 8, last week we talked about this prophet's encounter with God in the year that King Uzziah died, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filling the temple. We talked last week about how sin is the world's problem. but how the gospel is the cure for the problem, but how the gospel needs a conduit. We saw God through the seraphim take the coal from the altar and place it to the prophet's lips. The one who knew, I'm just an ordinary man. I'm so ordinary that I got the same sin that everybody in the world I live in has as well. And he says, but I take that away from you now. And then he asks him this question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And like the superhero that he was, he says, here I am. Send me. Last week we said that the question was as important as the answer. This week we're going to deal with the who, the us. We who ought have the same response as the prophet when it comes to these things. Opening statement, the thing we're dealing with today. God has always used willing and ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary vision. Two places in scripture that I want to put in your hearing. I'm not going to read them, but I just want you to write them down. Wait, Pastor, we don't write. We just look at the screens. No, you're writing today. Write these down. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Verses 1 through 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. You've heard me mention it often. It comes right after the verses where Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he tells his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers to go into the harvest. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. And then the second place is Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. You know, there's this new Avengers movie that's supposed to be coming out. That's supposed to have 70 superheroes in it. 70. And when I read Matthew chapter 10 and began at verse number 1, I said, you know, that's almost like God's listing right there. Where he says, and here are the names of the apostles. And it says Iron Man. No, it really doesn't say Iron Man. Right. But he starts naming them all. And then it says that he says to them, and now I'm sending you. I've filled you. I've given you what you need. I've shown you. You walk with me for a minute. And now I am sending you. Leads me to my first point about us and what God does. We need to understand this morning that we've been appointed. Here's the thing about those movies that gets me, and really, I'm telling you, I'm fresh off my binge of Jessica Jones season 2. I need you to understand, she has this friend, right? And the friend's name is Trish. And Trish wants nothing more than to have the power that Jessica has. But she's regular people. See, she doesn't get to knock people down with her fingers. She doesn't get to have the super strength. She doesn't, and this friend of hers who has all of these things going on in her life, she wants nothing more than not to have them herself. But she's been appointed by some quirk in how things have worked out. She finds herself having this and her friend doesn't. Think about who we are. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And in that moment when I, crying as I was, thinking about nobody but myself, made my way to the altar at A Street Baptist Church and gave my heart to the Lord, in that moment I was appointed. I didn't know it, but I had been appointed to go into the world and represent the kingdom of God and its Christ. Everybody doesn't get that. See, now here's why That's such a small statement to us, because we live in a culture where we drive past a church every quarter mile. We live in a culture where we can turn to five different television stations where somebody's holding up a Bible or saying something about Jesus. We can find radio station after radio station. We have bookstores that all they will sell are books that are devoted to the Christian faith. And so when you stand in a room and you tell somebody that when you gave your life to the Lord, in that moment your life was changed forever, you were appointed, all of a sudden God added your name to the roll of superheroes who were being sent, we don't get it. Why? Because I want nothing more than to live my life. But remember what we said last week. Sin is the world's enduring problem, and the gospel is its only lasting cure. And the gospel, without the conduit that God desires and designed it to go through, the church, which is the people of God who are called by his name, the solution will not get applied to the problem. So see, God always wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things, and we are those people. We've been appointed. Now, there's something different when you understand that you've been appointed. You walk into a room differently. Read with me Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. It says, and after this, it's the same kind of statement made in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. This means he gave them the specific role. He gave them the actual task that they are to go. I, as a member of the body of Christ, I, as a believer in Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, can I make it more applicable to all of us? We. Can I make it personal to you? You have been given the role that when you walk out of a sanctuary, when you wake up on a Monday morning and go wherever you might go tomorrow, you are being sent by the Lord. Amen. I'm asked this question, it's rhetorical, because I don't expect a response, but I want you to contemplate it. How would you interact differently in whatever environment you go into tomorrow if you actually believed that you were appointed to be there? How would your conversation be different with the person who walks by your cubicle tomorrow if in your heart you believe, Lord, I have no clue why you sent this crazy person here today, but clearly I got something they need. See, we as believers in Jesus Christ have to understand, I just can't get rid of this. I was touched by God. I can't get rid of this. I am filled with his spirit. I can't get rid of this. And so every room I walk into it, and yes, I got a cape on under my clothes. I can't get rid of this. And so every place I go, I am looking for God. I'm not here to save anybody, but I absolutely recognize that every time I walk in, Holy Ghost power comes in the room with me. How do I now act differently? How do I watch my mouth if I understand I've been appointed? Yeah. Everybody got quiet on that one. But think about that, right? If I'm a free agent, I can say whatever I want to you. You don't know. But when I walk into a room and I know I've been sent here, and that, you know, the other thing about those most vulnerable superheroes is that they always have somebody watching, You know what I mean? They got somebody who's in the room. They got somebody who has the big screen. They got somebody who knows their every move. They got somebody who gets to tell them, listen, watch out. Here's where you need to go. This is what's happening. Everybody has that. They got theme music. And they got a sidekick. And somebody, we have the same. Jesus says, I have appointed you to go where I am sending you. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. The Lord tells Isaiah the same thing we heard. The question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah responds, here I am, send me. The very next verse he says, and he said to him, go. See, every time you get appointed, you need to understand, watch this, you don't get appointed to come to church. There is no such thing as a Sunday morning 10:30 to 12:30 appointment. Period. Guess what? You are not appointed to that pew. I know some of y'all think you are. In fact, you probably look at somebody cross. If next week you came in and somebody was sitting in your pew, or especially in your seat in your pew, as a matter of fact, next week, switch it up. I want somebody right now, get somebody's face in your mind and sit in their seat next week. I just want to see. I just want to see what happens. Now that I've said it, all they're going to say to you is praise the Lord. But trust me, in their hearts, they're going to be like, now you know you sitting in my seat. I was appointed to sit in that seat. Point number two. You've been given authority. I really wrestled with how I was going to term this point, because the word that we translate authority really is, it really does mean power. Problem is that in the language in which the New Testament is written, there's more than one word for power. And so the power that is spoken of here is authority, that we've been given both the might and the right to do what God is calling us to do. Amen. That means, understand, I walk into the room because I've been appointed to be here. I walk into the room because the one who appointed me has given me this as my task and as my role. I walk in here not necessarily because I desire to be here, but because the one that I respond to, he has put me here, and I'm here for one reason and one reason only, that is to represent here him. I am here on his authority. That's what we don't get. I'm one of those guys that watches those shows that are from another time period, and it always amazes me that when the person who is representing the king walks in, before he goes, and we read this when we were dealing with Nehemiah, the king gives him papers. And the papers have the king's seal on them. And it's amazing when I'm watching it that they will run up against something and somebody will come and start talking some stuff to them. And because I don't know you. Who are you? All I see is somebody who got a horse I like, and I'm finna take this horse. And all of a sudden, they go into their pocket and they pull out the paper that has the king's seal on it, and everybody backs up as though the king were there. Why? Because I've been appointed and I've been given by the one I represent both the might and the right to be here. Hear me. So if you mess with me, you're not just messing with me, but you're messing with the one who sent me. Yeah. Now, there's another side to that. We like that side because that side says, mess with me, and all I need to do, and it doesn't work this way, is say to God, get him. Don't work that way. Ask me how I know. That's not the way he intends it to work. The way he intends it to work is not if you do something against me, you've done something against the one who sent me, but if you receive me, you also receive the one who sent me. And you get the access to everything that he has granted me now comes to you. And so as believers, we now have this mind that whenever I walk into a place, I'm representing him. And he has given me both the authority and he has given me the power to back up what it is I'm doing. Look at this verse and then we're going to move on. Remember I told you, read all of Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse number 1 right now. Chapter 10, verse number 1. He says, and he called to him his 12 disciples. Look at this. And gave them authority, power, both the right and the might. He gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and affliction. Let me make it very plain. He gave them the authority and the power to influence the situations they were walking into. Anybody in here ever experienced that in their life? That when you go somewhere, and you recognize that by the very way you act, you have the power to change how everything is going. Watch. And so if you're quiet and you let it happen, it goes off and nothing changes. But you speak up. Yes. And all of a sudden, hear me, because people recognize who you are. More importantly, they recognize whose you are, on whose authority you are even there in the first place. All of a sudden, things begin to change. Why don't we use that? Why is it that we would so often rather just say, listen, that's somebody else's issue? I got to bring last week back to you again. Sin is the world's enduring problem. The gospel is the only enduring cure. And God, in his infinite wisdom, has made the church, his people, the conduit for his gospel, the cure, to get into the world. And yet we sometimes take more comfort in our Sunday mid-morning Holy Ghost get-togethers than we do in being sent by the one who has appointed us. Last point, then I'm out your face. We need to remember that the world is beset with a problem that has only one cure. Let me say it to you another way. People have needs. The world needs the church. I say that, trust me, with nothing but humility. Why? Because I feel the way Isaiah does. God, how are you going to send me? I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I got issues and serve with people who got issues. And yet, God, you're going to send us. And his response is yes. I'm going to send you one because you're not perfect, which means you've got to depend upon me. But I'm going to send you also because who better than somebody I've taken from their mess and am working with them while they're still in it to go back into the world and say there is a greater way. And let me tell you and show you the way to the one who is clean and is still cleaning me up. Stop with the church folk perfection thing. It's a lie.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And all it does is make us look even crazier when your mask fall off. I would rather say, listen, bruh, been there. done that, there before the grace of God, go I right now. So I'm qualified to tell you what I'm talking about. Because I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you where I was this morning. Now let me tell you how I was able to not do what you're doing right here. It wasn't because Griffin is so good. But my God is so great. And I've been appointed. What do you mean appointed, Pastor? I mean, do you think it's an accident that I'm sitting here talking to you? Do you think it's an accident that somebody who has experienced the same thing that you are experiencing right now and made it through? Do you think that somebody who still from time to time might wrestle with that same temptation is sitting in front of you now and has the opportunity to share with you how I overcome? Do you think that's an accident? You do? Well, let me tell you it's not. And let me tell you why it isn't. Because I serve a God who knew before you were born that you might have an issue and that I would have the same and that he would clean me up in order that I could stand in front of you and say, God is able. So, the world got issues. Racism, classism, sexism, poverty, violence, hatred, jealousy, war, division, gossip, backbiting, you name it, the world has issues. And we can't legislate our way out of them. Why? I'll give you a hint. It's in the book. The law has never been an effective deterrent of sin. All right? Now, what the law is absolutely effective at doing is letting you know where sin is. It exposes sin. Anybody know what the speed limit is on McKinnon's Church Road? 5. All y'all need tickets. There's this little section when you are coming between Mill Creek Road and Milltown Road. I get all the mills mixed up. It ain't a mill around here no more. But Mill Creek Road and Milltown Road, it is 30 miles an hour. They even got the little sign, the speed limit sign that will tell you how fast you're going. And if you go 31, that joint starts. See, y'all know. Y'all know, you know what that sign represents? The law. Right? And it's good. Watch, it don't deter none of y'all from going 40 because I drove behind at least one person today. And maybe last week you drove behind me, I'm just saying. It does not deter you from going 31, but it absolutely exposes to everybody, folk walking their dogs, and they just start turning around looking at you like, dude, you are in straight sin. The thing says you're going 45 in a 30. Why am I saying that? Because the only enduring cure for those and any other issue that comes in the et cetera is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's why. Because you can change my mind by giving me knowledge. But if you don't change my heart by making me desire to do different. Do you know why we don't sin in the places we don't sin? Because we desire something else more. Amen. In the moment that I would rather God, Lord knows, it would be so fleshly fulfilling to tell this person off right now. God, watch this. It would be so fleshly fulfilling to take this money that is meant for this and use it on this. God, it would be so fleshly fulfilling to you fill in the blank. Comma, but
But I don't want to deprive those I love of what I know I have the capacity to give them. But I don't want to see the look on the face of the one who has done so much for me when they recognize what I've done against them. Yes. My heart's changed. The law ain't no different. And I could still, but there's something that's changed on the inside. So God uses folk like you and folk like me. God uses regular people. At least we look regular. Who have been changed because of a relationship. And he says to you, Griffin, you ain't got it all together. But you got enough together that walking with me, I can use you. Are you willing to go? And here's the thing I'm excited to be able to say, and then I'm done. I get to hear the stories of the people who come into this sanctuary week after week who have responded in the affirmative. Here I am. Send me. And so whether it is changing a career to do something that you believe helps society, whether it is volunteering your time on top of what you're already doing, watch this, whether it is doubling down and rededicating yourself to the career and job that you're in now, and you see your desk differently now than you did before, I get to hear people who are doing exactly what we've been charged to do, to go, to let God send me, to let God use what he has put in me. God, I didn't ask for it. At least I didn't know I was asking. I didn't know that asking you to handle my situation, telling you how much help I needed, was going to put me in a position where you would use me to help others. But God, here I am. Send me, because I know where I was before. And not only do I never want to go back, but I don't want anybody else to have to experience that either. So use me. And when we do, we get to hear other stories. Watch, we don't do what we do so somebody can pat us on the back and say how great we are. But we absolutely do so folk will lift their hands and say how great God is. So I'm going to say this and then I'm done. My encouragement to you all this week, to us, is that when God, if God, blesses us to rise in the morning and delay his coming, that whatever we do, if it's breakfast with a friend, believe that you've been appointed. Believe that you have both the right and the might in that situation. Believe that you have been sent by God. And by meeting needs, I don't mean that we are actually supermen and superwomen. Sometimes all I have been able to do, even with people in my own family, is just to sit there and hold them. Sometimes all I've been able to do is to look and say, I can pray. Or there have been times when I've been able to say, you know what, I know somebody. I just talked to somebody who said something about that. Let me call them and see if they can help. Sometimes one superhero needs to call a friend. Because I can't handle this alone. Let's pray. Father, we absolutely